is needed for just basic human needs here in the United States. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is the great problem we're facing with our government right now, and the solution is we need a new, stronger grassroots movement in the United States connected with the global movement to say, we need to start working for the abolition of nuclear weapons now.
In this
last, we can't wait, and we can't have just one or two. We need to get rid of all of them.
In this last minute we have together, Reverend James Lawson, it's also the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Voting Rights Act, August 6, 1965. Mm-hmm. The significance of what the Voting Rights Act means to all of these different issues.
Well, the making the democratic experiment from July 4th, 1776 in the United States accessible to all the citizens, to all the people, is a part of the major task that has to be continued within the United States. The Voting Rights Act of 1965, therefore, is one of the most important tools for that. It broke open, especially in the South, but also in places like New Mexico and California, it broke open the possibilities of people with a different language and of black people especially being allowed to vote, being able to vote without all the hatred and rage against their voting and their right
Reverend
to vote.
Reverend Lawson, we're going to continue the discussion on the Voting Rights Act after the show and post it at democracynow.org. I want to thank Reverend James Lawson and Reverend John Deere. That does it for our show. I'll be speaking tonight in Manhasset on the 70th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with our host, Joanne Hardesty. Today we'll cover two topics. First, it's Neighborhood Night Out, which is this weekend, and we'll talk about the film premiere of Darhi at the Clinton Street Theater, a film about the murder of 14-year-old Emmett Till.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of 70 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the ever-present nuclear threat, Thursday, August 6th, at the Japanese American Historical Plaza at Waterfront Park in Portland. 70 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki will feature speakers and performers, including Portland Tyco, and will provide opportunities for attendees to get involved in efforts to abolish nuclear weapons. That's 70 years after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The ever-present nuclear threat, Thursday, August 6th, 6 p.m. at the Japanese American Historical Plaza at Northwest NATO Parkway and Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Matt Dishman Community Center annual block party on Saturday, August 8th from noon to 4 p.m. This family-friendly event will include barbecue grub, live music and a DJ, activities for kids, family swim in the pool, local vendors, and more. Again, that's the Matt Dishman Community Center annual block party on Saturday, August 8th from noon to 4 p.m. at Matt Dishman Community Center, 77 Northeast Knott Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Rising Film Festival, August 14th and 15th at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. The Portland Rising Film Festival will spotlight animation, transmedia, feature-length, and short films to highlight the wide range of new media content. Films include Sid Yiddish, The Girl Who Loved Animals, The Shattered Mind, and more. There will also be workshops and presentations to educate and entertain on the art and science of filmmaking. Again, that's the Portland Rising Film Festival, August 14th and 15th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. I want to talk to you a bit this morning about the tradition of Neighborhood Night Out. You may know that it started over 32 years ago as a way to bring police and community members together, and probably started for all the right reasons. However, here we are 32 years later, and what is Neighborhood Night Out? And my Neighborhood Night Out is an opportunity for the police to scare my neighbors into believing that crime is rampant in our neighborhood. It is not an opportunity to actually engage community members, to build relationships, to ensure that people understand that they live in community and that we're all responsible for the community we live in. I want to talk today about what I think are some really good community activities that will be taking place as part of National Night Out, but not under the tradition that the National Neighbor Night Out has had. It's been really frustrating for me to know that that the police, at least in my neighborhood, come out and just scare people into believing that that bad things are happening, rather than saying a lot of new people have moved into your neighborhood, the demographics of your neighborhood have changed radically. And you should go next door and introduce yourself to your neighbor. That would be the great thing to do. But that is not the criteria that we use. I want to thank my guests who've joined me. Good morning. Welcome to the studio.
Hey, it's good to be here.
It is good to have you both here. And if you'd be kind enough to introduce yourself to our listening audience.
I am E.D. Mondanay.
It is a pleasure to have you here. And you, kind sir.
And I am Antoine Tolbert.
And you may have heard as you were coming in that I was giving our listening audience kind of a overview of the 32 years of Neighborhood Night Out, mm-hmm. And talking about some of my experiences, at least over the last 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. I think the police in my neighborhood, and I live in East Portland, use Neighbor Night Out as an opportunity to scare my neighbors about all the diverse people that have now moved into their neighborhood. And they do things like say, Max is bringing crime to your neighborhood, right?
Oh, wow.
And so if you don't know people, then you should call the police if you see people that you don't recognize. Well, in my neighborhood, 10,000 people have been displaced into my community, and it's not possible for my neighbors to know all 10,000. So and so I like to go to my neighbor night out, which will be this Sunday, and actually counter what the police tell my neighbors.
Yeah.
Like, well, there prove that. What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean Max is bringing a crime? What do you mean? Prove it. You know, what are you talking about?
Right.
So they don't like hanging out in my neighborhood at Neighbor Night Out because they don't get the impact.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that is unfortunate that they don't get the impact that they're looking for. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. So I was thrilled when Antoine told me that this community concert was coming together to celebrate Neighbor Night Out. And so I'd love to know why? Why did you decide to do this?
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Well,
always an interesting question, right? Why,
right? That's a good one.
You could be doing a lot of things, right? Why did you want to do this community concert?
Well, in concert with proper people reaching oppressed people expecting restoration, it's an initiative that's birthed through our church, Celebration Tabernacle, that brings self-help entities all in one place at the park. And it gives everybody an opportunity to see who's there in the community that offers help, since we don't offer all of the help in the world. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we come together and bring those people together so everybody can know who they are. And we feed all day long, free barbecue, free this, free that, chips. Ooh. And face painting, bouncers.
There is a way to the people.
Yeah, right, right.
Healthcare. Right. We do ear screening and
health screening.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of stuff.
Stuff for the kids.
And so
music all day.
Music all day. So you've got local bands, bands from out of town. You've got music. You've got healthcare providers. So this is an afternoon, and this is Saturday, August 8th.
August 8th.
And it starts at 4 o'clock, so from 4 to 9 p.m. at Kenton Park.
Kenton Park.
You know, I've been wanting to bring you in for a while because I don't know if people.
Sounds like the police. I want to bring you in.
A much kinder, gentler approach, trust me.
Right.
Been wanting to bring you into the studio because I am so thrilled with the program that your church runs that is connected to the restaurant.
Yes.
Next door.
Po Shines.
And so would you talk a little bit about that? Because I just think that's one of the coolest community programs that we have, and I don't think a lot of people know.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't maybe we should a little bit more talk about us as a nonprofit, because sometimes it would seem to cheapen the whole effect. Mm. We're coming there to help these people out. We want you to come to Po Shines because it's great food,
right?
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it is wonderful food at Po Shines. However, the whole program was based upon, it was founded in idea by one of our church members who had several children at a very young age, but a brilliant mind and a wonderful cook. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to come up with a way to kind of feed everybody that was coming to church for in-between services and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then maybe offer it to the community. Mm-hmm. She got a plan together and said, okay, this will work, Pastor. I looked at that plan and said, this is phenomenal. Why are you just not doing this?
Right.
So we put together, making a long story short, this is how Po Shines really came into being, saying that you and your ideas and people like you with ideas can make something work.
Wow, very cool.
I knew nothing about restaurants.
But what you also do is your restaurant is also a training facility.
Yes.
For people who are re-entering the workforce.
Yes.
Right? See, I could be your PR person. See,
go
I,
ahead.
You know?
Hey, it's on. The mic is all yours.
Well, you know, we want to make an opportunity for people to do it again.
Right, right.
And one of the things that I find about some of those services is that, you know, a lot of people go through and a lot of people aren't helped. You know, usually who lands at our doorstep are people who are tired of not being able to make it.
Uh-huh.
And this is now, if I just had that opportunity to do it because I'm serious about it.
Right, right.
Well, these are the people who have been impacted by what we do.
So you're going to have to promise me you're going to come back and we're
yes,
going to spend
ma'am.
More time talking about the nonprofit and how it works in the community.
Yes.
But today we're going to talk about We Can Do It Together concert.
Mm-hmm.
And so who's going to be there?
Who's going to be there?
Who's going to be
well,
there?
Well, your very own Mike Crenshaw is going to stop by and pay us a visit.
Oh, nice, nice.
Miss Brene Mitchell, I mean, sweet
wonderful.
Lady, and I appreciate all her help. Oa Nui from Vancouver is a Tahitian dance troupe who's going to bring some Polynesian flavor to the event.
Wonderful.
Tyler Corbin. We have a gentleman by the name of Scorpion Moscano, who is a Native American coming to. I mean, it's...
So it's a
multicultural.
There's food.
There's food.
K-Boo is sponsoring
That's
it.
That's right.
So
sure
it's got to be a good thing,
That's right?
Right.
That's right.
And it's open to the community. So it's really about bringing the community together so that they find out what's available in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with this year's focus being the concert, the health screening we won't be doing this time around.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people to get their hopes up to get health screened and they be let down.
Right. But they can get information about yes. where to go and yes. get those health screenings yes. done.
And what's in the community around you. We're looking for people to volunteer and to be a part of the team next year.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to wecandoittogether.net okay. and just register and or properusa.org to participate in Proper as they have their annual Thanksgiving feed coming up. And
that's what I forgot on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You guys feed a whole mess of folks, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, about 1,000 people or so. Yeah. We love it. I look forward to it.
Yeah, like last year was about 2,500 plates, and we're shooting for 4,000 this year. And so the more participation and help from the community in Portland abroad mm-hmm. is greatly welcomed.
One, and so what have you seen over the years? I mean, you've been doing this for a little while.
Yeah.
So are there more people are you finding that are in need of these kind of services?
Yeah, and it's getting more, we're becoming to see it more blatantly than we've ever seen it in our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier, it's hidden a lot better than it was in the 60s and the 70s
right.
because of, you know, the isolation.
Right.
But we're finding that community is going to be key, and it's going to be real soon
right.
that we're going to have to move out of corporate into community again.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, I the cost of living is just becoming unimaginable here in the city of
Staggering.
Portland. Traffic is just becoming insane. You can't yeah. go anywhere without being in a traffic jam anymore.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a disconnect between our public policy decision makers and the people mm-hmm. who are trying to survive mm-hmm. in a city that's become unaffordable. And so I am so appreciative mm-hmm. of community efforts that bring people together to help them do better.
Well, we have to know what the issues really are. And there's not a lot of people, talking heads, that are saying like you. Then you start looking kind of crazy. Well, here she is again.
Right.
You know, because nobody else
right,
is talking right, about
same
it.
Same lady.
Well, you know, just like my, you know, 30 years of talking about the police being out of control, you know,
yeah.
all of a sudden there's a couple of other people that seem to think, wow, they really are out of control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. It, you know, sometimes the lone voice is the lone voice,
yeah.
but ultimately other people start recognizing there's a problem.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the phone line. We've got a few callers. Hello, Brian. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I like the idea of taking back this night, and I think your guest is doing a great job on that.
Thank you.
I'd like to make one more suggestion.
All right.
And, you know, so my idea is to give anybody the benefit of the doubt. So why don't we script or, you know, maybe type up a guideline for any police officer to get up and apologize to the community. Mm-hmm. Since this is a community event, there's going to be a lot of people out there. You know, let's mm-hmm. give the police a chance not to interact and scare people.
Mm-hmm.
But let's limit their voice to the most necessary thing that they could do for the community to heal the community. Let's give them a chance to apologize for their behavior and recommit to being community members and put their name in front of it and say, look, you're one of our community police people. This is what you can do for the community yeah. right here, right now. And you're going to have an audience. You're going to have a large amount of people here. And, you know, that's just, you know, just a suggestion. And I would wonder how many police officers would actually be willing to get up and take collective responsibility for how the police department in Portland has been acting over the past years and years and recommit to the community to become, to do their job.
That's a very interesting prospect. It would be interesting to see what police officers would take us up on that. I've certainly had that conversation with police many times and say, you know, you can't talk about building relationships until you get through the truth and reconciliation process,
yeah.
right? There has to be some personal acknowledgement of harm, and the community has been harmed. But I don't get a very receptive audience to that because they just want to start and building relationships today.
Exactly. Well, you know, Joanne, and what you have is a good idea. But what we need to do is, like, you know, I think what needs to be done with the police is they don't feel maybe they're having trouble with their creative process, and maybe they're having trouble expressing themselves. So if we hand them a piece of paper
with the words already written on it, all they got to do is read it, huh?
Yeah, we don't want to see your guns. We don't want to see your tanks. We don't want to see your body armor. We just want, if you have any input to give to the community, this is what we are asking, and you're working for us, we pay you. This is what we're asking you to do before anything else. And if you can't do that, well, hey, just, you know, you can be a spectator.
Well, thank you so much for your call and your suggestion. I'm sure the gentlemen here are internalizing that and imagining what that would be like.
Yeah, we all have dreams.
Thank you so much.
You know what? It's a little sarcastic. It's a little satirical. But you know what? At this point, you know, we're living in a fairly surreal world, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And, you know, the reality is that they're going to have to do that at some point. I mean, we're never going to be able to build a real community policing force if the community doesn't trust the people who are sworn to protect and serve.
And what better place to start than in Portland, Oregon, the bastion of progress. Have a good day.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Wow. Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, James. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I just want to throw out there, this is James Ortega. I go to church. Pastor Madene, Antoine.
Hey.
I know these guys.
Hey, James.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, so I just want to throw it out there for everyone who's listening. Celebration Tabernacle, you know, the proper, they're all involved. It's a, you know, they have their religious affiliations, but when it comes to taking care of the community, you know, they put all that aside and they really focus on people.
Yes.
You know, I want everybody to know that,
yes.
You know, who's listening, because, you know, when I first started handing out flyers the first year, even before I was a part of the church for the Thanksgiving feed, people would give me a whole mess of stuff. They'd be like, well, we're going to listen to a sermon while we serve food. And it's like, you know, and it's like, it's not like that, you know. Proper Celebration Tabernacle, we take care of everyone. You know, come for the food, stay for the love. You know?
Come for the food, the music, the fellowship.
That's right.
And then sign up and actually get involved in something.
There you go.
Yeah, we are very active in the community. And, I mean, when it comes to taking care of people, I don't think there's any better organization that really does, that I've seen in Portland, that really does a good job at making sure that people are taken care of. So.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Problem.
All right.
You too.
Thank you. Bye now. And also, this Thursday is the second annual Rosewood Initiative National Night Out. It's actually this evening, starting at 5 p.m. at the Rosewood Initiative office, which is at 162nd and Southeast Stark. They're going to have activities, of course, for the whole family. And that's the thing about Neighborhood Night Out. What it should be is an opportunity for neighbors to get to know each other, mm-hmm. to find out who's living in their community, to find out how to support each other.
Yeah.
I mean, what I love about our Neighborhood Night Out is we know the people that know how to turn off the gas lines and
nice.
People who can provide medical support in an emergency. And that's what Neighborhood Night Out traditionally was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And yet it's now become this kind of, we're going to tell you why you need to watch your neighbors, right? It's become like a police-sanctioned activity that's really about the police are your friends and we'll tell you who the bad people are.
Well, you know, the neighbors have an opportunity to take care of that themselves.
Yes,
unlike other states, Portland or Oregon has extended the time frame to a week versus it just being just a day.
That's right.
And it allows us to do the concert on a Saturday versus on a Tuesday.
Right, right.
For other communities and neighborhoods to do something. So learn about the resources that your neighborhood has to offer,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of things that they don't know that they can actually provide if the neighborhood comes together. So get involved with your neighborhood associations. your business associations in your community. I mean,
or go take them over if they're not operating like you think they need to. Right?
And a lot of them are ready for that. I mean, they're ready because they got old heads in there who just can't get it done. So they want some fresh blood.
Amen to that.
That's what it is. So young folks, step up.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It's there. The opportunity is there. And yeah, you have a voice, so use it. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think it's a real good opportunity for the world to understand that we are Americans. Mm-hmm. We're not just, and I'm passionate about that. I'm not just African-American because I have white ancestry. I have Haitian ancestry. I have Cuban ancestry. Mm-hmm. So, but here in this melting pot, we are Americans, and all American lives matter, period. Whether they're black, whether they're white, Latino, Russian, it doesn't matter.
Now, I have a take on that. I was at a gathering on Sunday because there's been a lot of pushback on the Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. People want us to, like, punt to All Lives Matter.
No.
And my take is that the day that Black Lives Matter in America, mm-hmm. all lives will matter.
There yeah, you go. I get that.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I get that.
So I'm a big fan of, I had to wait 50 some odd years to hear that Black lives mattered.
And Black lives do matter. And that is important because it is something that is draining the energy of the American culture. And until that's put in place, until we have plugged that hole, people are going to continue to fall in it.
That's right. So, I read this horrifying article last week that said that the cost of inequality just in Oregon's education system cost Oregonians around $2 billion a year.
Yes.
Right? And so just think that if we had an equitable education system in Oregon, right, in progressive Oregon, $2 billion would not be lost in economic opportunity a year.
That's unimaginable.
We got another phone call, and we're going to be wrapping this segment up after this call. We're going to give you an opportunity to let people know again how to plug in so that they can enjoy this fabulous concert this Saturday. Hello, Joanne. Good morning. Welcome to K-Boo. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
I heard somebody say something about Cuba, and I know they're working on having relations with Cuba. I hope it's going to be okay for Cuba for this to happen, but anyway, it's out of my control as usual. Anyway, I just want to put out a couple of questions or ideas, and you can answer them or not, because maybe. But anyway, you know, they've been pushing get ready for the big earthquake, and I just wonder if you folks think we should put a lot of energy in that or something. And rent control, is anybody doing anything real about rent? I mean, the people, not the governing people. Are people working on trying to get some kind of rent control in Oregon? And one more thing, and I'll go. Excuse me, got a dry throat. I just wonder, because I need low-income acupuncture. I haven't really found it, and naturopathic. What they say is not for me. Anyway, I was just wondering your area you're talking about, neighborhood. I just wonder if you have low-income acupuncture and naturopath clinics, and I'll say thank you and goodbye.
Thank you, Joanne. I love that you always get a lot of questions in. So I'm going to try to do the earthquake preparedness. Absolutely be prepared, because if you're going to wait for your government to show up, we anticipate that it's going to take between 3 days and a week for them to show up with supplies. So it is incumbent upon all of us to be prepared, to know our neighbors, to know safe exits, to have food ready, because it's not a matter of if the earthquake is coming, it's when it's coming.
Yeah.
It will happen.
Yeah.
As far as rent control, there is an organized effort. There is a... do you know the name of the group that is... Oh, it just went out of my head. I hate when I have those senior moments. It will come back to me, Joanne. There's definitely a group working on rent control. They're very well organized. CAT, Community Alliance of Tenant, is the organization that's leading that effort. And so call the operator, get their phone number, ask them how you can plug in. The last question about low-income acupuncture, any ideas about that, where someone that's low-income would be able to get acupuncture care?
I'm not certain as to that resource at all. I know that there are acupuncturists in our community and in our neighborhood, as there are, I know, off of Belmont and other the Powell and Division. I mean, some of the more populated areas. And so it's almost trial by fire. You know, you kind of call around, I mean, start in the online or Google it and see what you find. But that's a very interesting.
And I would show up. I would call and inquire and just say, hey, I'm low income.
Right.
Can you help me?
Yeah. Isn't there like a 211 helpline that I believe is run to actually help people find out community services? So I believe if you call 211, there's a there's an operator that will, you'll say, I'm looking for acupuncture services, and they'll tell you whether or not they have any listed. And if they don't, I agree with the gentleman here that if it's not available, it's just the luck of the draw, just calling people saying, you know, I don't have a lot of money, but I need help. And there are compassionate healthcare providers in our community.
Most that I know are compassionate.
Most that he knows. I can't go there. It has been my pleasure once again. This is Saturday, Kenton Park,
August 8th, Saturday from 4 to 9, the We Can Do It Together concert, and it's sponsored, of course, by K-Boo. And you can get plugged in at wecandoittogether.net. That's wecandoittogether.net. To register for next year, and just or also share your thoughts about the event and what we're doing. We appreciate your feedback. And also you can go to properusa.org and you can become involved in the Thanksgiving feed coming up, and know how you can be involved in more activities that we do.
If I'm in town this year, that's where I want to be. That's so I will let you guys know as soon as I know if I'm in town, because that sounds like that would be fun.
We'd love to have you.
Love it.
Excellent. Okay, gentlemen, have a great day.
Thank you for being here.
Of those flyers and that. And we will talk soon.
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to just move right over into our next segment. And the next segment, we're going to talk about an upcoming film premiere that will be at Clinton Street Theater on August 14th. And it is called Dare He. And it is a one-man play about Emmett Till and his life and death, as you may remember, which was at really the beginning of the civil rights movement. And it is such a pleasure for me to have Angela Wilson here to talk to me, Angela Davis here to talk about this film premiere and our upcoming program at Clinton Street Theater. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure to have you here. And forgive that, I just, you know, that's what happens. I get old, you know. and things slip. And so I am really excited about this upcoming premiere. Is it showing here first? Is it just premiering in Portland?
It's just premiering in Portland
on the 14th.
It's won numerous awards.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. And was it at Sundance this year?
I'm not sure.
Okay. And so why don't we tell the audience a bit about what they can expect when they come to the Clinton Street Theater on August 14th?
All right. Well, Dare He, I picked because there is no more relevant film to show. I couldn't show anything fluffy or just entertaining. I had to, you know, go for what we needed to hear and see right now. It was recently, I think it would have been the 74th birthday of Emmett Till, and we are still in the same place. It was 1955 and we're still in the same place. People are being lynched. Young people are being killed. I don't even know what to do but to continue to talk about it and make a platform. You know, this is all of our fight. You know, I never had words to put to the feeling that my mother raised me with until Recently, when Obama spoke, he said, "I'm not free until you are also." Mm-hmm. And that finally put words to 39 years worth of a feeling that my mother raised me with as, mm-hmm. as an active, you know, protester and eco-gorilla. And
right. Eco-gorilla.
Exactly. That was what I called her growing up, because mm-hmm. she chained herself to things. She was, you know, arrested. I was seeing police violence when I was, I think, 9 mm-hmm. in Salem. I saw my first police beat down. Wow. A Native man chained himself to the governor's anteroom door, and they beat him, and then they unchained him, and I was probably 10 feet away.
Wow.
You know, so.
And so, the film tells the story of Emmett Till, mm-hmm. and maybe most of our listening audience knows the story of Emmett Till, but he was a 14-year-old kid from Chicago visiting his family in the South, and either whistled or looked at a white woman. Right. He did, being black in that day and time, you were required to step off the sidewalk if a white person was walking on the same sidewalk, so that they would be able to walk clearly if you were black. If you were a black man, you certainly didn't look at a white woman in any way, shape, or form. You didn't look any white person in the eye, but a white woman, definitely not. And being a, you know, young kid from Chicago, decided that, was visiting his family. Allegedly, he whistled or looked at or did something to a white woman. And he was brutally just beat to death, hung, and his mother refused to have a closed casket funeral because she wanted the world to see what had been done to her son. Yeah. And so this film, though I don't think anybody would say it's going to be an enjoyable thing to watch, reminds us that there's still a lot of work left to be done. And I appreciate you, because you're a bit more radical than me. I keep finding out that I'm not as radical as I think I am, and that, like, it does something to my self-esteem. But because as you say nothing has changed. I am actually old enough to know that things have changed, but they've what's changed is what happens visibly, publicly, what happens under the awareness of the public eye,
how we hear about it,
how we process the information, who gives us the information. Yeah. All that matters. And so while there are no black only, white only signs today, we live in a society where we use coded language and coded policy and procedures to continue on some of the practices from Emmett Till's time. So mm-hmm. I'll leave it there and say, so we're excited that the film is going to be here. It's going to premiere on August 14th at 7:30. Is that right?
8 p.m.
And we're going to have a talk back afterwards, including Adrian from Black Lives Matters, myself, somebody else.
Hopefully the filmmaker.
The filmmaker. Yep. Hopefully, yeah. We
possibly
like filmmakers.
By Skype, that would be great.
Oh, that would be very cool.
Well, what happened with Emmett Till, the issue was he had a stammer, and his mother told him, mm-hmm. if you can't find the words, whistle. And so this young man, trying to find words, just whistle. Walking down the street, right. He stammered. He was trying to speak. A whistle came out. That was how his mother taught him to interact with the world.
Wow.
And that whistle and the hate that these men had
right.
culminated in they gouged his eye out. They hung him. They tortured this boy.
Yes,
and you're
did.
Right. His mom held an open casket funeral. And that just, as the mother of, you know, teenage children, I can't imagine the hate that was focused on this young man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've seen the herd instinct in a good way. I've seen hundreds of people come together, thousands of people, to do a positive thing. Mm-hmm. But I've also seen small groups of people come together and use that power for evil and not good. And the hate that can come out of people when they get together like that culminated in the torture of this boy. And it was the spark, but mm-hmm. you know, that started the civil rights movement in a huge way, but just it still boggles me to this day that humans can be capable of that.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. We are capable of many, many, many bad things. Definitely. I want to let Joanne know that I got a note that says the National College of Chinese Medicine offers low-cost acupuncture. I don't have a phone number, but I bet if you call information, they will give you a phone number to the National College of Chinese Medicine. Always glad when my listeners help other listeners get information that they need. This is part of a film series, mm-hmm. right? Talk a bit about the series. It's the second year for the series.
Well, this is the second year for Portland Rising Film Festival. Last year, we filled a free screening, full to bursting, showed a couple somewhat controversial shorts. It had a really great effect, and this year I just realized I had to do it. And I was reviewing the submissions. I had submissions for environmental issues, mm-hmm. I had submissions for animal rights issues, mm-hmm. I had issues for human rights and civil rights. And so I realized I had to go with that theme.
Had to go had with race go this with year, it. Huh?
Yep. So,
well, that's a really intentional thing to do, right? So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a wonderful evening. I'm so excited that we're going to have the opportunity to really get into deep dialogue, because mm-hmm. I think the challenge that we have is that we don't really have deep conversations right. about race and the implications of race and how it plays out in our society.
Facebook is good, but yeah, right. you can't have deep conversations because it turns into trolling and flaming. And so everybody gets emotional and nobody hears anybody. You can right. yell to a crowded room,
yes.
but a screening is more intimate. That Q&A afterwards is more intimate. You can be honest. There's nothing to lose by
That's
saying
right.
exactly what you feel.
That's absolutely
if you
right.
are a white man and mm-hmm. you are feeling upset and you're mm-hmm. feeling offended mm-hmm. like all of this is being blamed on you mm-hmm. And you don't understand privilege and how it works and the fact that just walking around in that skin you have it easier
right.
doesn't imply responsibility to do anything
right.
doesn't imply you did anything
right right
all it is a simple fact and right. and getting over the offense of that and then stepping forward and saying I hear you mm-hmm. I see you. Let's talk about this. People give a lot of lip service to saying, oh, we just talk. But we don't talk enough.
Right. right.
From that talking can come action.
And quite frankly, and at least I find in Oregon, we have what I call, we are plagued with Pacific Northwest polite.
Oh, yes.
And so what that means is that we will not have the deeper conversations that lead to a sense of uncomfortableness,
right.
right? And our main objective is to ensure that people are not uncomfortable. And so I make people uncomfortable a lot.
Oh, I do that myself. I can't tell you. I've lost quite a few friends on Facebook, but I gained followers.
Yes, so. Yes. I have had that same experience. In fact, people tend to write me letters to tell me just how much they disagree with my perspective.
Hey, but they engaged you.
But
that,
they engaged.
You win. You yes. win when you engage.
And so what do you hope comes out of this year's film festival? You were intentional about picking a film that's going to spark emotion, that's going to spark dialogue, that hopefully will spark people to action. What do you hope to come out of that? And before you answer, let me give the listeners the phone number in case they have questions. The number to call, 503-231-8187. Give us a call. I am talking to Angela
Davis,
and she is talking about an upcoming film, Darhi, which will be at the Clinton Street Theater, premiering at the Clinton Street Theater on August 14th at 8 p.m. And we hope you will join us there. And so, what do you hope is going to come out of this?
Well, I hope that we can begin a better level of conversation that results in more engagement, because you can talk about it, but if you don't walk away feeling a sense that you can do something, mm-hmm. that you are empowered, mm-hmm. that you recognize your own internal prejudices.
Yes.
I walk around with a lot of them. I see certain people walking down the street. I'm going to be a little scared. And then I see it in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we all have these conversations, we can learn to retrain our brains and rewire yes. those internal prejudices.
Yes.
I may not ever say those things that I think, but mm-hmm. the fact that it happens inside me mm-hmm. is a thing. And once you recognize that, you can turn it around and say, okay, so I feel that feeling. What's the next step? What's the action I take. Right. And really, I just want to be part of that conversation. The privilege I have, I'm going to use it because I can. Mm-hmm. I'm going to create this platform, and I'm going to bring the people in that should be having the conversation. I should be there. But in reality, it's not my voice that needs to be heard. This isn't about me. This mm-hmm. is about the people that are involved in this conversation and all of us as a whole. We all have a responsibility to each other. And like I said, like President Obama said, I'm not free until you are too. So mm-hmm. we want to keep this going, and we want to make progress as a city and as a nation. You know, it's not sustainable the way things are right now.
And are you feeling like we're getting more prepared for that?
I believe so, because of the way the media is now these days. These instances of police violence and all these have always been happening.
Yes.
It's always happened, but yes. Now we're hearing about it. Now there's yes. video.
Yes.
And I think because of that, there's also an increase of it. So mm-hmm. it all feeds itself. But we can use the power of the media for good and not evil. I'm one of those people that is not one of the six people that owns the media that you see.
Right.
So I've created quite a few methods by which to get true news out. I have connections all over the world that I can share information so that we can show these videos right. and show the truth of it and say, you know, you may hear on the news, oh, this person fought back or they were disrespectful. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. disrespectful isn't illegal.
That's right. And it's not a death sentence.
Exactly.
Right.
It's That's not right. worthy of a death sentence.
Well, and I was going to say, I think what's unique about this time, I mean, we talk about Emmett Till's time. Mm-hmm. The movie reflects on, you know, what, 60 years ago this
yeah.
was?
Yeah.
1955. Wow. The film reflects a time where the laws, the practices, the policies all supported what happened to Emmett Till.
They were not convicted.
They were no, of course not. Right. fast forward to 2015, and we have the laws, the policies, and the practices still supporting what happened to Mike Brown, what happened to, you know,
Sandra Bland.
Say I mean,
their
we
names.
Could just go on and on and on. Kendra James, Keith Notice,
yep.
you know, there is a, you have to hold a mirror up to that to say that, yes, in fact, something is clearly wrong. I'm excited because I actually think we're at that moment in this generation
yes.
where white comfortable middle-class America can no longer be comfortable and unaware and blissfully ignorant about the inequality that's taking place. And so we got to do something. Yeah. And I think there's enough people who are like, oh my gosh. What I was going to say, though, is that the media opportunities that we have today, if we had those opportunities in the 50s and 60s, oh my gosh, right? And I think we see it and hear it more because there are more of us that are becoming the media. We have our cell phone cameras, we are video recording, we are stopping at traffic stops and observing how police operate and interact with people.
I'll stop from across the street and film a police interaction, especially if I see a person of color, because
yes.
I don't know how that's going to end. And that's a terrifying feeling.
You know, Angela, you could be in my training program, because that's exactly what I tell people. Anybody can watch the police. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Michael. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, how you doing, Joanna?
Pretty good, Michael. How about you?
All right. First of all, I think this goes way... We have to go back further than Emmett Till. We got to go back to Native Americans, man, because they're the first ones right. that came up under this oppressive system, and they're extinct. Also, I would like for you to, at some point, reach out and... have someone on your show that has some connection to the Holocaust, some Jewish person.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason I would like to have one of them there is because the Jewish, as you know, people suffered the same thing and hit under Nazi Germany that we're suffering today.
Right.
And I would like to have someone there talking about how they had to go up against the Gestapo, which is the same version of what we're doing today with the police.
Right.
And so I would like for you to do that. And also, I think in order to deal with the police, I think we're going to have to take it on a much higher level than we've been doing. I think it's a global problem. I think that the plight of the black Americans has to go up on the world stage to the UN or someplace, because we're not the only ones, people of color, that is being victimized by this system. It's a systematic thing. And all of this stuff, when you talk about the police shootings and everything, keep in mind, this is happening when we have a black president, a black attorney general. This is happening when we got this. So, you know, it's time for all people, not only black people, but every person of color throughout the world that is being victimized by this system. We need a summit. We need to take this thing on a higher level than marching in the street, rioting and all of that stuff, because that's what's happening. And one last thing, I think, and I've always been really key on understanding the mentality of racist white people. It's a mental thing. It's a mentality. And we don't psychoanalyze racists enough. We talk about their acts, but we don't psychoanalyze them. Anyway, and I just like it. Maybe you can have a psychiatrist. Maybe you can have a psychologist on sometime that can think about the demented state of mind that these racists have and what causes it.
Well, thank you. I actually think that you've had a couple of great ideas today. Thank you so much for your call. Michael had a mouthful to say there. I understand his desire to take this on an international stage, which, you know, it certainly has been taken to the United Nations over and over and over again. And, you know, so I think we're going to have to fix what's wrong in Portland in Portland. We're going to have to fix what's wrong in Oregon in Oregon. And we cannot depend on either the federal government or international interveners to fix what's broken in our community. So,
starts with us.
Yeah,
individually, every single one of us.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And it starts with all of us actually educating ourselves. I know what I was going to tell Michael. Michael, the New York Times this Sunday had a fabulous article on unraveling 50 years of the Voting Rights Act. The article was just, again, no new information, but I just loved how they put the information together. And what you realize is, just like with our criminal justice system, the attack on the Voting Rights Act has been systemic. It's been ongoing since its passage. And there have been organized political interventions that have actually made the Voting Rights Act incompetent today. That fight continues today. We got two other callers on the line. Hello, John. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hello.
Hi.
Years ago, I saw this documentary about the 50s, and Emmett Till was one of the people that were highlighting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of, well, it was disgusting, of course. It showed the picture of him in the coffin.
Right.
But, however, it showed the trial, which was in a general store, and people were sitting around drinking Coca-Cola. The jurors had their kids on their lap. And after the decision was made, not guilty, the guys kissed their wives.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like whatever. But then it kind of flashed forward to, they interviewed one of the guys who did the deed, and he said all they wanted to do, have him do, Emmett Till, is to apologize, and he wouldn't apologize. So each time they asked him to apologize, they fisted him, you know. Okay, so, and then it was talking about his body was, tied to an air conditioner and then thrown off the Tallahatchie Bridge. And so I started thinking, there was a song by Bobby Gentry or something like that about a bunch of people throwing something off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Hmm.
It was a mid-60s country western song.
I remember that song.
Yeah, and so I was wondering if that was connected. But I don't know. It was a depressing song.
Right.
Whatever.
I don't know the answer to that, but I would bet you my hard-earned pennies that it was not about an apology. There was nothing that, you know, he didn't lose his life because he didn't apologize.
Well, they were unapologetic. Those men, their mom spoke of them, and they were good boys and good fathers and yada, yada. And
good family men.
Oh, good family men until they ran across that 14-year-old boy and tortured him to death.
Well, one thing they were also talking about, I think they interviewed Rosa Parks. And she says, you know, I wasn't the catalyst of it. The whole thing was Emmett Till. Mm-hmm. If a 14-year-old boy could take that, we sure can just get up and do our thing.
Well, yes. I mean, I think for me, that's kind of the reminder about why we have to continue to do this work. I think about, you know, this is hard work today, working on civil rights. But man, 101 years ago, when the NAACP Portland chapter was formed, it must have been really, really hard work then, right? So if they could have the fortitude to create an organization to work on civil rights, truly today we can continue the work, the legacy that they started. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yeah.
We have another caller. Hello, Roberta. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, good morning. Yes, this is Roberta. One of your previous callers said that Native American people were extinct, and I just kind of was shocked driving here downtown and was like, please, please look, open your eyes in our backyard. You're full of Native American people here in Portland, Oregon.
Yes, yes. And I apologize for not correcting that. I just ended up moving off somewhere else, but yes.
And unfortunately, that happens a lot in many topics, And I just wanted to say, from a personal standpoint, I live here in Portland as a minority woman, and there's so many bad things that happen just on a day-to-day basis, just walking down the street or just living in our area. And it's like trying to be a good-hearted person, right? And always having to fight this battle.
Right.
And wanting to bring it down about civil rights and what is our rights as people in this community. And it really does take, if anybody does know, that I do talk about birth and pregnancy and that we need to focus on helping these women grow healthy babies and having that connection. And then we can hopefully turn that around. but in the world that we live in, you know, we have so much, we're living in this stress, you know, and the stress. And it really, I see it every day. And I'm downtown right now and the homeless people walk to work and don't even care about.
They don't even see them. They don't see them.
Just step over.
Yes, they don't see them.
That are houseless.
Step over them. They, you know, and I'm seeing this on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And I have a question, like, how do we stay strong? Just not only, you know, being people of color, but being a person of this economic melting pot. And I see what's going to happen. A woman just talked about the earthquake happening. I mean, life gets so big. And, you know, how do we just kind of stay afloat,
you
know, because some people, they don't even have
control.
A struggle.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think it's the thing is to first, I appreciate what you do because helping women have healthy babies, especially with all the stresses in our society, are absolutely critical. And so it's important that the work that you do is important and appreciated. The other thing I'd have to say is we all have to step out of this fight and renew ourselves, because you can't do this every day without it taking a personal toll on your own psyche, your own spirit. And I will say that all of us have mental health issues. You cannot live in the United States of America and not have a broken mental health frame of reference. And so whatever it takes to actually help us create a more mentally supportive space for ourselves helps us continue to do this work. I can say that people always tell me, Joanne, you're just exaggerating until it happens in their neighborhood, right?
Activism fatigue is a thing.
Yes.
I've gone through it since I've been, you know, doing this since I was a small child. Right. I've gone through times of just looking at how big the issues are and just wanting to lay lay back down in bed and die because there's
right.
nothing
That's how
you
I'm feeling.
Can do
I'm like,
sometimes.
It's so much. It's so much. And I'm looking around right now. Everyone's busy.
Right.
But you see the underlying, like, this man has no shoes on. What's going to happen? You know, it's right. like, oh, my gosh. Nobody reaches out and just says, here's yes. a pair of shoes.
Free right? Hot Soup does that. Free Hot Soup in Portland. I cannot say enough about mm-hmm. this organization. Look it up on Facebook. Get involved. $5. 5 minutes of your time. Not stepping over somebody. Mm-hmm. You got something out in your car, you know, bottled water, something. Right. Give it to somebody.
Right.
Simple
right.
things.
Right.
The only thing we can control is our own faces and our own reactions.
That's
you know,
right.
I've been told my superpower is cheerfulness.
Right.
Because whatever happens...
You got a smile.
I got a smile on my face. That's all I can literally control. My heart breaks, but I can still smile and make the person next to me feel better.
And that comes
better.
In handy. Let me tell you, it comes in handy. So thank you so much for your call. I so appreciate it. And I apologize once again because I should have stopped that, but I was trying
Thank
to like
you.
Let him get his thought out.
I heard it too,
and then I went brain dead. And so
always take a moment.
Yes,
we're here.
You here.
Pick your battles.
I agree. Right. Thank you so much. Have a great day. I got a couple of other places for you, Joanne. Working Class Acupuncture has 3 locations in town. Outside In has free acupuncture. Benevolent Healing Arts in Gresham, also low-cost acupuncture. I tell you, boy, people are coming out of the woodwork to provide you help today. I am so thrilled with that. Thank you so much, Angela. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm honored. Thank
Can't
you.
Wait till August 14th at 8 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater for Darhi. And we're not just going to depress you. We're going to actually give you concrete things you can do to make this world we live in a better place. I'm Joanne Hardesty. Thank you very much, Steve, for making me sound great as always. Have a great day. See you next week. Same time, same place, same station.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me. Heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right.
And good morning. KBOO, KBOO Portland is your community radio station. It's Thursday morning, a minute before 9 o'clock. In a half hour, join us for Per Fagering hosting Fight the Empire, connecting history with the latest world events. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today. Instead, we'll hear Flashpoints for an hour, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 today on Between the Covers, host David Naiman speaks with the award-winning writer Rebecca Mackay, whose stories have appeared in 4 consecutive editions of the Best American Short Stories about her new collection, Music for Wartime. At 11 today, Patricia Welsh, O.B. Hill, and Emma Jackson Ford host Black Book Talk, a monthly program featuring interviews and discussions of works by African American authors. That's all coming up right after Press Watch with news you're not supposed to know. Teresa Mitchell is up next.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Yes Men Are Revolting as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The